When an attack on infrastructure combines with human nature to cause gas stations to run dry. I'm David Brancaccio. The biggest fuel pipeline in the country remains disabled today after hackers came looking for ransom. Colonial Pipeline has now dispatched workers to manually open valves to move some fuel in Georgia, the Carolinas, Maryland, and New Jersey. The U.S. requires most of the electric power grid to have protections against cyber attacks, but for pipeline companies, hardening against hackers is only a suggestion, not a rule. The head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is saying now that needs to change. Marketplace's Andy Euler has been talking to people on the hunt for gas, with some stations running dry, in part because people are topping up just in case.
Nicholas Medley lives in Pensacola, Florida, with his wife and two young kids, ages 2 and 4. He said from what he's seeing just driving around town,
maybe 70% of the stations around here are just completely out, and the other 30% have long lines and high prices.
Now, he drives a Tesla, so he's not hurting for gas, but his wife drives a regular old minivan.
And we're having carpool now because she was running low on gas before the shortage happened, and it happened in the blink of an eye. There was no warning.
No warning for McLean Merrick either. He lives in Peachtree Corners, Georgia, coincidentally only about 10 miles southeast of Colonial Pipeline's headquarters. He says he's got an almost full tank right now and works about a mile from his home, but he just hopes he doesn't have an emergency.
Once I hit the 50% mark, I'll probably be walking to work and we'll probably be walking to dinner and wait for this to pass.
Colonial said last night it's taken delivery of an additional 2 million barrels of gasoline from refineries for deployment upon restart, but it didn't give any more details about when that actually would be. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
After a string of record highs, yesterday marked the biggest sell-off on the stock market since February. The Dow fell 473 points, 1.4%. The Nasdaq closed down just slightly after bigger losses earlier in the week. This morning, Dow and S&P futures reached down moderately, 0.2% each, triggering some of the selling. The prospect of inflation in a recovering economy beset by supply disruptions, higher interest rates make bonds, not stocks, more attractive. In a bit, we'll get the latest word on inflation, the Consumer Price Index for April. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Last month, the Consumer Price Index showed the biggest monthly gain in 8.5 years. Today's numbers are forecast to show inflation has moved higher again. Month to month, analysts expect a 0.2% gain. That doesn't sound too bad until you look at where we were a year ago. By that measure, the index could be up as much as 3.5%, the biggest jump in a decade. And we already have the anecdotal evidence, higher prices for gas, automobiles, and some household goods. So does this change the calculus at the Fed? It's pledged to leave interest rates alone and tolerate higher inflation in exchange for employment growth. Several Fed governors in separate appearances yesterday suggested their current approach will not change. Whatever today's inflation numbers, the Fed still expects an increase to be short-lived. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
With more vaccinated, there's increasing political pressure from conservatives to pull the plug on some pandemic relief programs. This at a time no one has pronounced the pandemic over. There's news Missouri and Tennessee are now among 7 states stopping their contributions to extra unemployment benefits on the disputed theory that the payments are keeping many people from taking jobs. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on the complex calculus of determining need.
Former Federal Reserve economist Claudia Sahm is famous, well, economist famous, for her simple rule about when the government should provide relief like stimulus checks or higher unemployment payments.
So it looks at small increases in the unemployment rate, and it says, now is the time to help people. We are in a recession.
When the pandemic started, unemployment shot up 10 percentage points. No question help was needed. But a year on, the math doesn't look the same.
This crisis is so different. It's very hard to say when we will be back on track.
She says the unemployment rate doesn't tell us much because people dropped out of the labor force during the pandemic due to worries about childcare or health. Better, she says, is to watch how many jobs have come back. The economy lost 20 million last year, so we're only halfway back to normal. People are hurting.
So that means we keep helping them until they're back to work, and it's got to be everybody.
The $300 a week of extra unemployment pay is set to run through September 4th, but economist Michael Strain with the American Enterprise Institute says generous benefits could slow the recovery.
That is going to keep people out of the workforce for longer than would be healthy.
He says enhanced unemployment payments were needed during lockdowns, but now people's access to vaccines should guide those policies.
If anybody could stroll into a pharmacy and get a vaccine, I think the justification for restricting business activity is pretty weak.
Still, even those who can get vaccinated and find a job would be hard hit if restrictions on evictions end too soon, says Robert Hughes, a professor of business ethics at the Wharton School.
We told people you can't work for public health reasons. Expecting those people to pay back rent is not realistic.
A federal court recently nixed the national moratorium on evictions issued by the Centers for Disease Control, though the Justice Department has appealed the decision, and millions are still behind on rent.
About 40% of households can't pay a $400 emergency without going into debt. And if we end up with a lot of people homeless, that's a crisis.
For the people affected, for public health, and for the broader economy. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
It's also news this morning that Amazon just won a big appeal in Europe, a dispute of a $300 million tax bill over there. The court finds Amazon didn't get a special advantage. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.